Hey, let's go.
There's going to be a lot of traffic on the way to the game.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plates. People get out of my way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Great plates. I want them too.
Are you even old enough to drive?
Hour number three, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI, Jermaine Wiggins in the house as well. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is former Bruins goaltender and Nesson hockey analyst Andrew Raycroft. Andrew is brought to you by Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Bruins. We are going to play that thing to death. Don't you worry, Andrew. As long as you're on with us, that commercial will never die.
I love it. I love it.
All right, so help...
Afternoon, gang.
Good to talk to you again. Help Wiggy out.
Yeah.
He's already talked about acquiring Evander Kane, Wayne Simmonds, and P.K. Subban. Can you come up with anybody else that maybe Wiggy should be shopping for?
Willie O'Ree.
Yeah, Willie O'Ree, maybe. Yeah.
Well, I told the manager, my son, he plays hockey, you know, so I, you know, like, he, you know, to maybe give him some people that might be inspiring to somebody like him.
No, I'm with you. You know, keep growing the game. I love it. But I don't think any of those guys are fitting in Don Sweeney's plans this afternoon.
Before we get to the whole trade deadline thing and what who the Bruins could possibly get, what was your thought when you saw the emergency goalie going in there the other night and sort of the experience he had?
Yeah, it was incredible. And to actually play that long and then to get a win and the whole it's something that probably will never happen again. I think, you know, they're going to change the rules on this as well, but it's so incredible. And to have that happen in Canada, in Toronto, hockey night, Saturday night, hockey night in Canada is something that is especially special, being up there in Toronto and have that happen on a Saturday night. It's just incredible. And for all of us Bruins fans, for it to happen to the Leafs makes it even sweeter. That's quite embarrassing for those guys.
Now, could you be an e-bug if the Bruins called you down from up in the booth? Could you come down and maybe get net?
I am on the list, and it almost, there was a bit of a panic last winter. If you remember, Tuukka went down against the Rangers, and I was actually in the booth with Dale, and Dale can attest to my face when they came over and said, "Where's your equipment? We need to go get it." My heart rate went up to about 180 pretty quickly.
They actually sent somebody to your house to get your stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a snowstorm. So they sent an intern out in an Uber, and my father-in-law was actually watching the kids. So some random guy showed up in my house in a snowstorm, rooting through my basement, rummaging through the basement, looking for my goalie gear and my sticks. And my father-in-law was rattling. It was quite a scene, apparently.
There are there's several reports out there about possible trade targets for Don Sweeney. One of the more interesting ones, just because it's fun to hear about, is the possibility that the Bruins may be looking to bring Joe Thornton home.
It's fun to talk about. It's interesting. I go to more the other side. I mean, obviously you could have Joe somewhere in the lineup. I'm sure any team could. I'm not sure if Joe wants to come here. You know, he would have a lot of say in that. I think that's it's a long ways from his now home for 15 years in San Jose. His family and everyone else is 7 hours away by plane. And I'm not sure if Joe would want that attention coming back here and being, you know, almost being a distraction at times. So I would be interested. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to Joe about this, but just seeing him in the fall, I think he's happy where he is, and it would have to be a really special situation. I'm not sure Austin is that fit.
Should the Bruins have been in on Ilya Kovalchuk, or is that okay to let him go somewhere else?
No, I think I'm sure they were in on it. I'm sure, you know, they might not have wanted to give up. I love the deal for Cachet. I love this deal. I think he's Marcus Johansson 2.0. I think he comes in and fits in perfect on that Krejci line. You look at the lineup the Bruins have in practice today. They have five forward lines. The fifth line, two of the three guys played in the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Big minutes, important minutes. They have eight defensemen. Their bottom eight defensemen, Clifton and Moore, played big minutes in Stanley Cup playoff time last year. I think we kind of lose sight of how deep this team is. They're first overall. Their special teams are great. Their goals against is great. They just don't have a lot of things they need to fix. And I think they did in Cachet, and I think they needed to get rid of Backus Deal. I'm shocked they were able to get rid of that before the season was over, and it gives them a lot of flexibility going forward. So I love the deal they made last week, and if that's it, I think psychologically, which, again, this time of year, these deals become psychological for these teams. The guys in the dressing room want to see that the organization's behind them. I think that deal checked that box as well for Donskoy.
So you're certainly not alone. A lot of people really like the deal. I'm curious, though, for Kasha, why just 7 goals this year? And why are a lot of people projecting him to be such a good fit here?
The big thing is he doesn't play power play out there. He's a 5-on. He scored all of his goals last season 5-on-5, all of them this season 5-on-5. And then obviously injuries. You know, we talked about the concussion. You guys have talked about that. That puts him back at that 7 goals. But for me, the big reason is not playing power play. You see the game, the way it's being played right now, there's 5-6 power play chances per team every night. And if you're not on that power play consistently, even if it's the second unit, that's going to, you know, take those opportunities away from you. So the fact he scored 20 goals being only 5-on-5, and now he gets the opportunity to play with a guy like David Krejci, I think his upside playing with a guy like Krejci goes way up.
Now, if the Bruins, if that's the only move that they make, do you think that's enough, or would you like to see them do something else before this deadline ends in a couple hours?
I think it's enough. You can always add another depth guy if they get an opportunity to give up a third-round pick for someone who can play defense, you know, a defenseman who can play more minutes. I think you can always add that way. But you look at, you know, Tampa. I look at Tampa Bay. Okay, they added Blake Coleman. Blake Coleman and Andre are similar to me in that situation and where they fit in on the team. And then they added Zach Bogosian, who's he's just a depth defenseman. He's a big guy. He can eat minutes, but Bruins have those guys as well on the back end. So, I look directly at Tampa. I think they're going to, through the collision course between the two best teams in the league in the second round between those two guys, and you match up with those and what they've done at the deadline, it's very similar to what the Bruins have. And so in that case, I don't think they need to go out and make another big splash.
We're talking with former Bruins goaltender and Nesson Bruins analyst Andrew Raycroft. When you look at what happened Saturday night to the Bruins, A, going into the game, Billy and I thought it was somewhat predictable given the situation, and B, every single team in the NHL goes through one of those every once in a while. I was interested to see afterwards, Bruce Cassidy just said, I'm not losing any sleep over this one.
No, they're not going to lose any sleep on the charter home. And if you remember, last year Vancouver beat the brakes off them at home. I think they got 9 or 10 on the Bruins last October or November. So they've done it 2 years in a row to them. Again, that I played in Vancouver, and we beat the brakes off so many teams on that Saturday night after they played in Edmonton and Calgary the night before. It was consistent. And, you know, there is a Roxy flu out there, and it does catch up with guys. By the time you get to the end of that road trip, you're going through 3 or 4 time zones. It's just a game that is just a complete blip on the radar. They're just happy to get home, and I'm sure they will have a bounce-back effort tomorrow night.
If you're looking at all the moves that have either happened today or the last week or two, is there anyone that you like the most? Is there a player that you think is the most significant that switched teams?
I like what Washington's done. Adding Brendan Dillon, I know him a little bit. He was a guy that if he had came here, I would have been, you know, I would have been excited about that as well. I think he's a big, strong defenseman that can move the puck, and he makes that defense core better right away in Washington. And then adding Kovalchuk with the pieces that they have and the way he was able to fit in Montreal, I think they'll be able to use him in a good way, in a productive way. So I like what Washington did, probably more so than even Tampa. Washington, as we know, is a hard physical team to play against, and I think they added to that with Dillon and Kovalchuk.
So you were saying now if Andre Kasha can stay healthy alongside of Krejci, you really think he could do some damage? Because that's kind of been the hole for this team, it seems like, almost for the past few years, is their, you know, right-wing scorer. Who could be that guy? You really think that Kasha could be that guy if he could stay healthy?
I do. And again, you can always go through and you know, find other right wingers that, you know, that could do more for him. But I think you also have to look at what's available and what you can bring in. The reality is the Boston Bruins went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year with Carson Kuhlman on their second line with David Krejci. So I look at that and see that they've made an upgrade there in that position, and it allows everyone else to those two, the second and third lines, there's so much flexibility now just adding that right winger where they can move so many guys around. And yes, if Coyle goes up, he could go up and play that second line at some point in the series if they need to change momentum one night. They can move guys back and forth. They can put Cache back in that third line. So I like that flexibility. I know the Bruins love that flexibility to be able to move guys around and put them in different spots. And you're going to need that when you go on a long playoff run. We know that you need to have that flexibility and to deal with injuries and to move guys throughout the lineup.
Andrew, you and I have talked about this in the past, how polarizing a player Tuukka Rask is in this town. I just want to read you a quick text on the text line right now. I think you go with Halak. Rask is weak come crunch time. Sucks to say, but don't see them winning a cup with him goaltending.
What do you say to that, right? I don't know how you can say that and actually been watching and paying attention and just to watch the run he went on in the playoffs last season. I don't know how to, there's no point in defending that. Obviously the guy's got his feet in cement on this one, and there's probably no way anything I'm going to say to talk him out of it, other than the fact the guy's got the best numbers in the league since he came into the league.
So Bruins have the best record right now, and as we're still, you know, less than 3 hours till the deadline, so, you know, things can change, but who's the best team in your mind now that we've seen, I think, Tampa Bay really kind of shoot up the standings over the last month or so? Some of the additions you said that Washington made obviously makes them even a little bit better on paper. Who do you think right now, end of February, is the best team?
It's a three-way race, in my opinion, between the Bruins. I go to the Bruins right away because they have the second-best power play, the third-best penalty kill, and the best goals against. If you take those three things, if you have those three stats in the top three, top five, you're always right at the top of the NHL. And then right behind them, Tampa Bay with the offense they've had, the run they've been on, and then Washington, just because we've seen them and how physical they are and how well they match up against the Bruins. They're just always a tough out. I think with the goaltending in Washington, it's a little bit, that sets them back down to that third spot compared to Vasilevskiy and Rask come playoff time. But again, those top two teams, and also I say the Bruins because of the way they've played outside of the break. We saw them struggle a little bit going into that break, but to have only the two losses since the break, to go on the road out west in Canada and find ways to win, I think they're very similar to the way Tampa's been playing recently.
So now when you look at this team, and if you know you got them as one of the best teams in hockey, then would it be a failure if they don't get back to the Stanley Cup Finals this year?
No, it's not a failure because of the way the Stanley Cup playoffs are set up.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is they're going to have to go through what looks like Toronto probably, or Florida, or Carolina, one of those wild card teams. And then they're going to hit Tampa, and then they're going to hit Washington if it all shook out. To beat Tampa and Washington, anyone who comes out of that East, if they have to go through Pittsburgh, Tampa, Washington, is going to need some luck. And it's going to need a couple fortunate bounces and to stay healthy and all those things. So I don't think it necessarily is a failure. The reality is if they win the best team in the league, they win a couple rounds in the playoffs, and then for whatever reason they don't make it because of bad luck or injuries or whatever that is, you can't call that a failure, or organizations won't call that a failure. That being said, I understand the fan base, and when you win the President's Trophy, you should go out and win it all the way. I just think it's really difficult. The way they had the playoffs set up and the fact you have the second-best team in the NHL in your division, it just makes it that much more difficult to predict what's going to happen.
Final question before we let you go. Does Don Sweeney make another deal by 3 o'clock today?
I think Don Sweeney's going to make one more deal, but I don't think it's not going to be a blockbuster. It's not going to blow, not going to be too exciting, but I believe he'll add something on the back end. I think they have a lot of pieces that they can move around. And also, again, they've done such a good job looking forward, and there's probably some kind of a salary cap thing for next season that I am not aware of. That they, you know, it might save them $400,000 that'll help them get Torrey Creed next year, that they can make that deal. Maybe it's just a draft pick coming back. But so I think there is more going on. I'm just not sure. You know, I don't think it'll be a blockbuster. I don't see them moving this lineup around. It's, they're just too confident in it.
Andrew, we appreciate the time as always, pal. Thanks.
You got it, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Andrew.
That is Andrew Raycroft, former Bruins goaltender, former Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender as well, by the way. So he knows.
And almost the knee bug.
He was right there.
I was sitting next to him when they came in and they said, hey, where's your stuff? And you should have seen the look on his face when he was going, oh, my God.
Was this during the game?
Tuukka got hurt during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, obviously Halak goes in, but you got to have another goalie, and they actually...
So did they not have an e-bug ready to go?
Doesn't seem like it.
Well, and it was, as he pointed out, it was in the middle of a snowstorm that night. It may have been that the e-bug didn't get there.
So now they got to send some guy to go
to
get
his
all
house.
His equipment?
Right.
That's insane.
Because, of course, the equipment ain't in the car, right? Maybe he's getting his washing.
He should have it in the car. I mean, maybe that was a lesson learned,
it
and now
stinks.
It's in the car.
So so you might want to wash it. Now, all of a sudden, you got this guy, you know, jumping an Uber, you know, going through his basement and saying, hey, I got everything but a glove. Well, there's a baseball glove you can use.
You need to share somebody.
Well, the funny part about, you know, the whole situation with, you know, e-bugs and what you've got to do is, Andrew Raycroft plays on the Bruins alumni team, and usually guys who've played goal in the past, they never want to put the equipment on again. Like Reggie Lemelin, when he plays for the alumni team, he doesn't play goal.
Right. No, not really. No, he doesn't.
Never.
No, he doesn't.
They make Raycroft because he's young.
Yeah.
So he has to play goal sometimes. Right. Like, they had a game at Madison Square Garden this year against the Rangers, and he had to play in goal.
Yeah.
So he's actually been playing goal.
Right.
Here lately, you know, if you asked Reggie Lemelin where his stuff was, he probably chucked it into the harbor now.
Yeah, he's playing forward.
But what's weird is you have to be the emergency goalie for either team. So that can be you're like this guy last night, you know, or over the weekend, a Toronto guy, right? And they're like, all right, you're on the Canes now. He's like, wait, what? Hold on a second.
I mean, how does Raycroft walk down the street after he's beating the Bruins?
Yeah, right.
Dude, what are you doing? You couldn't let up a few goals, man?
What's wrong with you?
I think David Ayer's wife's name, I believe it's Sarah, if I remember right. And while he was playing in goal, when he first went in the game, she tweeted out all caps, that's my baby, exclamation point,
exclamation
point.
She tweeted something else out, too.
And then a few minutes later, when he gave up a couple of goals, she tweeted out, bleep me, in all caps with exclamation points.
That one got a lot of likes. That also gets the porn bots out after you, too. You
can't does it?
That. Yeah, you
if
can't
you stick
tweet
that one out
there?
Yeah,
you tweet that, you get all
porn
kinds
bots.
Of all kinds of unwanted attention.
How would you know about this?
Well, if you tweet anything like that, they come out of the woodwork. We had one that was
a whole community of porn bots.
Yeah, we from the Dork Podcast. We reviewed an X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you just put X-Men in the title,
right?
And it's like, whoop, that must signal like all the porn bots to
that's
go. Their,
that's
like,
their
oh,
bat
X,
signal.
Oh, you're talking about X stuff? We're like, no, not X. No, not X rated.
Do
X-Men,
less
X-Men. X-Men. Right.
Like anything that they can that it remotely indicates something sexual, the porn bots are coming.
Exactly. They come
so a couple
droves.
Of times when the porn bots have come after my Twitter feed, something I put out
there. You must
there.
Have said
my
something.
My guess is, well, because all of a sudden, at least in my history, it'll be a tweet from like 3 months ago that all of a sudden starts getting a bunch of likes.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is this?
And I'll look at who's liking
the
it
algorithm.
Or retweeting it, and I'm saying,
yeah, you must have said something. You
must
have said
tweeted
something.
Bleep me.
No,
right.
You know, I haven't. But usually the stuff that they like or retweet is something innocuous.
It's dumb, and it was something that wasn't popular to begin with. And all of a sudden, they found it. They sniffed it out. Like, oh, this guy's talking about X-Men. You're like, what? No, leave it alone. Stop liking my stuff. Stop DMing me.
So
I'm not interested in hanging out with you.
The Bruins are still on the ice. I will tell you that there is at least one report out there that I've seen, which again indicates that the Bruins may be interested in Joe Thornton. Now, interestingly enough, Andrew Raycroft said, and Andrew and Joe have been friends since they played together.
Yeah.
Way back in the day, they continue to be friends. He's not sure if Joe would want to come here.
So that was pretty interesting that he would say that, and he would certainly have some inside knowledge on that, sort of like Fourier reporting on Brady.
Right.
Well,
it's the reverse thing, right?
Yeah.
Brady don't want to go to California. Joe don't want to come to the East Coast.
Joe may not want to come here. Which is interesting, because we've seen that in the past.
I mean, the only
where,
reason he'd want to go anywhere is for a chance to win. And this would obviously give him a pretty good chance to win.
But is he done after this year?
No. He wants to play again next
year.
Okay,
so maybe that's part of it, right? So you don't want to come to Boston, you play well, and then all of a sudden now they offer you a deal for next year, and now your family's on the West Coast and you're stuck on the East Coast.
But he's an unrestricted free agent after this year. So he could play the last couple of months for the Bruins and then go sign back with the Sharks or sign wherever he wants. You know,
Patrick Marleau could go back to the Sharks. Yeah, but if you play with Pittsburgh,
if they want him.
And I'm just, this is just hypothetically. Say you do come in, you do play well, and then the Bruins offer you more than any other team.
Yeah, but at that point,
they're not going to.
No,
they probably wouldn't. And at that point, you can just pick whatever team that you
want. So then it seems like that he would then, all the teams he would want to go to would probably be somewhere.
Right. Like, does he want to go to West Coast? A contender? Right. Or a West Coast contender, which I don't know. Is that. You're still traveling.
Yeah.
You know? Well, yeah, not only that, that's much more of a toss-up.
I mean, if you think about the teams that people think have legitimate chances to win the Stanley Cup this year, they're all Eastern Conference, it seems.
I would say so. I mean,
like you said, Tampa Bay, Washington, Tampa, Boston.
I think those are the top teams. Even Pittsburgh, right? You could see going there. But in the West, I mean, St. Louis has the best record. I don't know if they, I doubt they're interested. And then you look at some of those other teams. I don't know. Or would he decline all trades? And just say, I just want to stay here. I want to keep playing with the Sharks. I don't know.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. Our thanks to Andrew Raycroft, who joined us. As soon as a trade happens, you'll know Slapshot Chime. He's a little disappointed because apparently NHL general managers are on a lunch break here.
What the hell?
Well, I mean, there hasn't been a deal in the last half an hour or so.
Yeah,
maybe
they can't order in or something.
No,
like
come
that?
On. Listen, there's no time to eat right now. It's the deadline.
You've never,
3 o'clock. You can have a king's feast.
You've never made a call while you're eating.
I have.
Well, we're also and we've got some calls out. We're trying to see if Anson Carter wants to continue to play. If he wants to come back to the NHL,
I like him.
Well, yeah, I see. That's why I thought maybe just in case
like
Anson Carter wants to play. Jerome McGinley, maybe he wants to come
I
back.
I do like
it. I know.
Fan,
I understand.
But I did like Tyler Seguin, so.
Okay. Oh, right. Curveball.
Yeah, a little curveball.
That's the one. So far.
He was one of my favorite Bruins players.
617-7 because he's got as many tats as you do. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to your calls after we trend.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
I said the lights get too bright, the booty holes get too tight.
On WEEI.
That's what it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news.
So this is an actual trade involving your Boston Bruins.
Woo boy! Here we go.
The Bruins have traded Danton Heinen to the Anaheim Ducks in exchange for Nick Ritchie. Nick Ritchie is 24 years old. He won't turn 25 until next December. Former first-round pick, 10th overall in 2014. Big guy, 6'2", 234.
Ooh, big fella.
You'll love this. One of the guys who does hockey analytics, a guy named Micah McCurdy, puts together a little visualization here of where he tries to get shots from and all that.
Okay.
He describes Nick Ritchie as, Nick Ritchie is a strong offensive driver with no hands to speak of.
No hands.
Wow. I mean, that's...
No hands.
I don't know if you want to have no hands and be a hockey player.
Should we be concerned that they are just acquiring
Anaheim
Ducks?
How's
he going
to hold a stick?
The Anaheim Ducks are one of the worst teams in hockey, and they're just plucking guys off the Ducks.
How do you hold the stick with no hands?
With your mouth.
Now, Danton Heinen was on the ice for practice today. In a lot of these situations where guys... Yeah, like, for instance, Wayne Simmonds wasn't practicing today for the New Jersey Devils
because
they were working on this deal. I guess I'm even a little surprised. Now, Heinen was on the ice for the Bruins this morning. He was not on the first four lines. He was on the so-called fifth line that he was out there.
Yeah.
So they were apparently working on this sort of deal. Now, Nick Ritchie is the brother of Brett Ritchie, who the Bruins had and got rid of.
He was terrible.
Yeah. Well, this is his brother.
Oh, good.
So...
Danton Heinen, I was never a huge fan of, to be honest. And I know the Danton Heinen defenders, and there were some, and now they may all disappear because he's not on the Bruins anymore. But when he was here, you would get a lot of the, don't just check the box score for Heinen, what Heinen does. I'm like, yeah, okay. I could use a little
bit
more.
Look at the things that are not on paper.
Right. Some of the times when he plays with certain guys, you would just expect him to maybe, score more. And it just didn't happen. So he was one of the guys that was on the active roster that you figured there was a chance he could get dealt, right? Mm-hmm. I think Grizzlick's name would come up. Heinen's name certainly came up. And so I have no problem trading him. You get a guy in Nick Ritchie who in 41 games has 8 goals. Now, he did score 2 last night. So
get out of my office, Bobrovsky!
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait, hold the phone! Sean?
The Montreal Canadiens.
They are selling everybody.
They don't want a team anymore.
They are trading Matthew Pekka to the Senators for Luchuk and a 7th.
Pekka?
Pekka.
That's Shive's Pokemon interest. Yes.
Shive, P-E-C-A is...
Yeah,
P-E-C-A.
To who? For what?
To the Senators for Luchuk and a 7th.
Luchuk?
Luchuk.
Is that when he goes by one name, like Luchuk. Seal?
Yeah.
You don't have a phone?
Sorry, Aaron Luchuk.
Thank
Aaron
you.
Luchuk.
I knew. I was wondering. Confused my Luchuks.
The tweet only had Luchuk. I apologize.
All right. Well, that's fine.
Had to do the extra research.
Good update there, Shine. But Nick Ritchie, I don't know. Seems like a big oaf.
Oaf big seems guy. A little harsh.
He's 234 pounds with no hands.
Right.
He is, his cap hit is $1.49 million affordable.
Yeah.
He's listed as a left wing, left shooting left wing. And similar to Danton Heinen, whose numbers have kind of trended down here a little bit.
Yeah.
2016-17, he had 14 goals, then 10, then 9. Now, this year, he was trending back up again. He's got 8 for the season, which obviously, you know, gets you back in the 9-10-14 range,
right.
Theoretically.
I say he had 6 goals
last night.
What are his pros?
Yeah. If we know he's got no hands.
He's big.
Okay, so his pros, but he's,
I mean, I think. I mean,
is it physical?
I would
does he play physical?
I would say that's what it is.
He doesn't have a lot of penalty minutes, if that's what you're asking about, but nobody seems to anymore.
No, I mean, just like a physical
style
player.
Yeah, he's a big.
Put him in front of the net. So you usually put big guys.
Yeah, he's a big guy. As we said, he's 6'2", 234, mm-hmm. which is, you know, about as big as they have other
right.
than Zdeno Chara. You know, it gives them a physical presence. I'll be curious to see how Bruce Cassidy sees to use him. I'm not surprised that at this point they've decided Danton Heinen just, you know, probably is not.
Yeah.
He's been trending down as well.
Jeez, I went to look that cap-friendly website that has all the cap numbers, and I went to go look to Anaheim to see what Richie's deal is.
Mm-hmm.
They already made the change. I saw Danton Heinen
already.
On there. So,
yeah.
So Nick Ritchie, got this year, next year for cheap, and then he's a restricted free agent. So if you happen to really like him, you have a lot of control over him. But where does he fit in right now? Is he like a fourth line guy? Or
probably.
I mean, you don't want to. Yeah. All right.
Which is, well, Danton Heinen in practice today was a fifth line guy, so.
Could be a ninth floor guy.
Interesting swap, though, right? Is it just for, like, the you know, get a bigger guy in there? So if you happen to face the Blues or you happen to face one of these bigger teams.
Well, I do think that if you're looking at your route out of the Eastern Conference, you know, chances are at some point or another, you may have to face Washington, you may have to face Tampa, both of whom are bigger and stronger than you are. You remember how the Bruins had physical issues in their matchup in the Stanley Cup Final against St. Louis. A lot of that had to do with the fact that Kevin Miller was out, but you know, I think that Don Sweeney felt they had to get bigger. Danton Heinen's not a big guy at all.
Or is it one of those things where it's, you know, it wasn't really working out for us. Let's try somebody new. And the same way Nick Ritchie wasn't really working out for Anaheim. And so it's like, all right, let's try somebody
now, new. Now, when you're a top 10 pick like that, usually by your fifth year, you kind of can tell, right? Whether
or
not they're really good. Because I know a few guys, like Patrick Marleau is actually a good example of a guy who was a super high draft pick, and his first couple of years, you're like, I don't know. And then, like, became the star player. But by year 5, I think you'd have a pretty good idea.
Well, it seems like in hockey, like, these guys are getting drafted so young. I mean, this guy's only, what, 24 years old, and he's
Well, most of them get drafted out of high school or that age. He happened to play for the Peterborough Petes. That's my Pierre there for you.
Peterborough Petes.
He played for the Peterborough Petes.
Except Pierre would have told us who his high school
coach
was.
Yeah, no, he would have gone a little bit deeper than that.
He would have, you know, given you all of
his
those.
His rival, who he played against when he was 8.
Goofy numbers.
Right. His juniors.
That's something, though, but that's certainly not a wowser. Now, we were talking with Raycroft earlier in the hour, and he said they were going to bring in somebody, but he said it wasn't going to be anybody all
that
exciting.
Well, let me tell you what I think is also involved here. And I think this was also involved last Friday with the move for Kasha. More specifically, getting the Backus contract off the books. Danton Heinen's cap number is $2.8 million. Nick Ritchie's cap number is 1.5.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think what they are attempting to do here is free up enough cap room for Tory Krug and Jake DeBrusk and, you know, Matt Grizzlick if they decide they want to do that. Krug is the big one here. What they've done is they've added a bigger physical presence. They haven't really downgraded in terms of, you know, what the guy's done. He's the same age as Heinen, but his cap number is a lot less than Heinen.
And Heinen also had the same contract for the next season as well.
Yep.
So it wasn't like, well, you can play out the string and then he's gone. So if you want to re-sign Krug, his money comes off the books. It wasn't going to. So you save $1 million. He's probably it's like a wash.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a money move. That's got nothing to do with the cup run.
What's Foyer saying? He's not out there in the Twitter world.
And by the way, I like the fact that, again, Sweeney is not only worried about this year, but he's worrying about after this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be able to get Tory Krug signed, which is the big one. That's the big one out there. Unrestricted free agent. Are they going to be able to put together a contract offer that will convince Krug to stay? So some of these maneuvers by Sweeney are with an eye towards cap room for after this season. Getting the Backus contract off the books was a huge one in that regard.
Weren't there like reports out there, and this was early in the season, that Krug could get anywhere like $8 or $9 million on the open market?
Yep.
I'm going to get,
that's what they said. But
it's more than I think he's going to get, but I think he could be getting 7 to 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
From the Bruins?
Yes.
That's a ton. I don't think he's worth that. I like him,
but
what are we doing here?
But if there's 9 out there for you to get, why would you come back?
Yeah, a lot of guys take less money to stay here. Right. I mean, a lot of guys do.
A lot of guys have so far, and it's like, all right, what number does that make sense? Like, Marchand, Pastrnak, Bergeron, they all probably could have gotten more. At the time, we said that about McAvoy, although he was smart and didn't commit to a whole bunch of years.
Right.
And was like, all right, let's take care of this for now. But, I mean, he could definitely get more somewhere else, but is he comfortable here? And he's like, that's still a lot of money. Sometimes maybe they'll add the extra year, like with Chris Kreider in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, we're only going to give you 6.5 annually, but we'll give you the 7th year. So maybe it kind of makes up for it.
Now, for those of you who just hear the last name and get all hot and bothered, he's a better player than Brett is. Nick Ritchie's a better player. He's not a top six guy. He's not going to be that here.
Does he
wasn't
play
that there.
Here even?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he'll play on that fourth line. So, A, he'll play. B, he's much bigger than what you've got. Mm-hmm. And C, you save money off the salary cap as well.
All right.
Seems like a good move then. If you factor in all that stuff there, if the ultimate goal is to clear some money off the cap so you know, will have enough money to potentially go after Krug, then smart move.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess after practice today, Andre Kasha was asked if he thought Tom Brady should stay. He had nothing to say. He didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah, well, this guy's got his finger on the pulse.
Well, he's playing in Anaheim, for crying out loud.
I don't know.
He's
Tom Brady, a pretty big
Czech
star,
Republic.
I would say.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah,
you know, football in America?
Where do we put that on the board?
People are into it? Yeah, he's not
like
on the board.
Second board?
No.
I don't think he's on either side. Yeah, knew it. Speechless. You think he's gone? You're on this side.
Like,
stay this side.
Who's Tom Brady?
Absolutely no comment.
You start to wonder.
Andre Kesha.
I'd have to I'd have to sit down with this guy now if I'm the Bruins and go, wait a second.
Listen.
You don't know.
I would lower his awareness in
what's
NHL
he
2K.
Doing? I would want to know what is he doing when he's not playing hockey?
All of a sudden, one of his medicals just didn't clear. We're sending him back.
Let's send it back.
Yeah, I want to know what Kasha's doing when he's not playing hockey.
He lost his mind.
I think he's just all about hockey.
As
the guy eats and breathes and sleeps hockey.
As Rich pointed out, not only did Nick Ritchie have 2 goals last night, he had 4 points. You're getting him at the height of his value now, right?
Sold real high. The Ducks, like, hey, get out there. We're going to showcase you. We're going to deal you.
617-779-7937. Scott's in New Hampshire. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Dale. How you doing? Great show. Second time caller calling from New Hampshire. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Been watching the Bruins all year and have just been waiting. I played Division I hockey, won a national championship with Jerry York.
Nice.
Won't say if it's Bowling Green or Boston College.
Yeah, that's all right.
Got some experience.
That's all right.
So Heinen didn't know what took him so long and what they saw in him. So I'm just glad he's gone. With the new trades that they're picking up forwards and stuff, DeBrusk is another one I'd like to get your take on. He's a skilled player. He's big and he's fast. And I just tell my daughters, I'm like, he's lazy. If I was him and I had more forwards coming in, I think I'd be worried about my possibly be getting not traded, but possibly a couple nights off.
I mean, I don't. I think that they like him on a line with Krejci, and now I think ultimately it will also be with Kasha. Although Bruce Cassidy said today he's not sure if Kasha's ready to play tomorrow or not. He has not played since February 7th. You know, they may decide, let's hold him off till Thursday or something. But I think they like him. I don't think lazy's the word I'd use. There are times when, maybe effort is the right word. I don't know. There are times when
he's not moving his feet.
But he's skilled.
Right.
And when he goes to the net, he's a force.
But it seems, I mean, it's an interesting point that, you know, they're bringing in more forwards. Maybe somebody will take that opportunity. But right now it seems like DeBrusque doesn't even have to be all that consistent because there's been nobody there to really say, all right, we're taking your time away.
Was Nick Ritchie light a fire under his butt?
I mean, maybe it does.
You know,
but
every now and then.
He's not a top six guy.
No,
I don't think so. The other thing about Ritchie, not only do you save about $1.3 million off the cap number for Heinen, Ritchie is also under contract through next year as well. As Heinen was.
It's like same thing. It's a $1.5 million, well, prorated this year, and then $1.3 million next year, and then you can keep him if you want, but we'll see. I mean, he may not be a huge factor into the thing, because you figure they've acquired two, you know, NHL caliber, like, you know, big level forwards, and they've only gotten rid of one. So it's still a sort of a numbers game, and there's going to be somebody that had been playing that's not, or Ritchie doesn't.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
I'll let this cat out of the bag.
On WEEI.
Yeah. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line 37937. Bruins have now made two trades leading into the trade deadline, which is technically at 3 p.m. today. They made one on Friday when they acquired Andre Kasha from Anaheim, practiced with the team this morning. Don't know if he'll make his debut, Bruins debut, tomorrow or not. Today they made another one acquiring Nick Ritchie from Anaheim. Evidently, you know, it's just speed dial between Don Sweeney and the Anaheim Ducks.
That's it. Call them. Who else going to get?
Nick Ritchie for Danton Heinen. Ritchie, a much larger man than Danton Heinen. This is a big guy at 6'2", 234. You know, power forward presence. It doesn't have power forward skills necessarily.
No, it doesn't seem like he has a lot of skill.
They say he has no hands.
Yeah, that's not great.
It's a bad thing.
Somebody passes you
the puck and you got no hands.
8 goals this year, a career high. His second year he had 14. So he had 28 points in 77 games. Back his second year. This year he has 19 points in 41
games. He's on a pace this year for 12,
right?
Which, you know, would be a step up. It would actually, if he did that, would be the second most he's had in his career, because he's been on a downward trend for four straight years now.
He has.
So I'll be curious to see how he's utilized here. Just very quickly, and we'll get back to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes, and only because I think we've actually set a Sports Radio WEEI record, and I just want to commemorate the fact that we've now gone, you know, 3 minutes and 50 seconds without mentioning Tom Brady's name, so I feel obligated to throw it out.
Why not?
There.
How come we haven't talked about him today?
We just haven't had a lot
We've been talking about Nick Ritchie.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Nick Ritchie.
I mean, truthfully, as much as we're half joking about it, you know, what everybody's talking about is what are the Patriots going to be able to tell Tom Brady we can do to make you want to stay? And we talked about, you know, supposedly they're talking, or at least interested in talking, with the Ravens about acquiring a tight end, which is a step up from what they had.
Yeah.
But it's not the sort of thing where Brady says, damn, Bill, where's the contract? No, let me sign.
The Hayden Hurst rumor doesn't really get anybody excited, including Tom Brady. And so if you were going to have a PowerPoint presentation, which I suggest they do.
I would go for it.
For Tom Brady, Hayden Hurst would not be one of the first 10 slides that you would put up there.
No.
Maybe include it as some other roster moves we may make. Right. You maybe include him, be like, hey, former first-round pick. You know, we're taking him away from the Ravens. He's a big target. Right. He can run up the seam, all that stuff.
He would be the person you have to zoom in on. Zoom in on that part of the PowerPoint.
Not gonna get it done. You're going to have to entice him with some bigger names.
OBJ and Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
Those are the only... you know, when you really think about the two names that are out there,
right?
Those are the names that you should be saying, hey, what can we do to trade for a guy? Because ultimately, you're going to have to trade for somebody. Because the only free agent
the free agents aren't really going to wow
you either. It's Amari Cooper and Emmanuel Sanders.
Right. And then whatever's left of A.J. Green.
Right.
It's not a who's who's list.
Now, the other part of this whole scenario and the part that's gotten and confused a lot of people over the weekend was the delay in the players on the CBA and what's going on and, you know, what effect is that going to have? They've delayed the transition and franchise tagging in the National Football League, but everybody's sort of wondering, okay, now what happens?
Yeah, that part is a little bit tricky. Now, free agency obviously doesn't begin until the middle of March, so you still have some time there, but some of these teams, like Dallas and Tennessee specifically, have to figure out whether or not they're going to tag the quarterback, tag the running back, tag the receiver, tag both. Like, what are you doing there?
And then if you tag, like, a guy like, say, Dak Prescott, right?
Are you trying to trade him? Or are you tagging him just to get something for him? Or are you going to work out a deal with him?
Because the franchise tag is a first rounder, right?
Yeah, I think so. At least a first rounder, right?
So the NFLPA has clarified, said they will not submit the CBA proposal to the full membership unless at least half of the 32-member board of player reps approves of the deal. So if they don't submit it, if you don't get at least 16 of the player reps to say, yeah, we give it our vote of confidence, well, then what happens? Are you back to square one?
Aren't they? Because the deal, when's the deal actually up, right? Don't they still have some time to get it
March
done?
March 18th is the first day of the new business year.
Right, but I mean the current CBA ends
After next season.
Right, so it's 2021, whatever the hell it is. So they still have time. I don't understand why they're trying to get it done so fast or why they're trying to get it done before the new league year starts. Mm-hmm. Unless they know, like, we're basically, you know, one cross T or dotted I away from getting this thing done. But if there's still a little bit of an issue, why not just say, okay, we can, you know, figure this thing out after the new league year starts. We got all, you know, all spring, summer, and then get something done.
I mean, because they have been negotiating this for a while, right? But now it's like they're trying to get it
but
done
before
this season.
But doesn't it seem like is it 17 games now? Yeah. It's, you know,
expanding the playoffs already for this season. You're like, all right, relax.
Right.
You know, the playoffs is going to be expanded this season. Then the regular season is going to get expanded in like 2 years.
So if the playoffs is going to be extended for an extra game this season, does that mean that they've already, both the league and the PA, that must mean that they've agreed to add the extra playoff team?
They got to figure that out. Part of it, yeah.
To get it done, right? They say that that's going to be new this season. They'll have seven
they
teams.
They would, yeah. Yeah, that's what they're saying.
By the way, this Brady Watch segment was brought to you by Northeast Electrical. We are powered by Difference. Visit NeedCode.com. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. I will go out on a limb and say this. Assuming Nick Ritchie plays here and assuming that, you know, he becomes a part of this team, he's going to have to switch numbers. It's an important thing to keep in mind. Since he wore number 37 for the Anaheim Ducks, and I'm thinking they're probably not going to ask.
No.
Well, you don't think Bergeron would give up his 37?
That'd be a nice thing to welcome him into the dressing
room. Welcome him in, give up the 37.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's a young kid saying, hey, listen, I'm going to pass the 37 on to you.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say.
No, he may not play 37 games for the team.
Well, that's entirely possible as well. 617-779-7937. Right back to the calls. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.